Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. Today, author Dennis Cuddy concludes his series looking at what is really going on behind the scenes. We have survived a very shadowy valley this spring and summer with the Lord's mercy and your generous gifts. We pray we've been faithfully following His path for us. But even when we diverge from His will, God remains faithful to us. He'll never leave nor forsake us as a ministry and you in your ministry. This is the good news that for more than 90 years, Southwest Radio Ministries has been sharing on the airwaves and in recent years online. To help Southwest Radio's expanding media ministry be sustainable into the future, we need faithful friends who give monthly or are willing to increase their monthly gifts to be the foundation for reaching generations to come with the eternal message of God's truth. By September 30th, we are seeking a faithful 500 who will pledge a monthly gift of $50 or more. We know valleys are inevitable, but we also know that if we walk closely to the Lord, we can keep on the narrow pathway. Will you walk with us as monthly faithful friends, and as well as keeping our ministry of evangelism, prophecy, and encouragement in prayer? Please, let us know how we can pray for you at prayer@swrc.com. It would be our honor to lift up your praises and requests. To become part of our faithful 500, please visit swrc.com and click donate, or call 800-652-1144. Please, friends, become one of our faithful 500 today. 800-652-1144. Or you can become a faithful friend by visiting our website, swrc.com. Now, here's our host, Dr. Larry Spargimino.
We're back with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. We've been talking about the power elites and globalism and many other issues that are related. There are a lot of elites these days. We have Bill Gates, he's the depopulation elite. George Soros is the disruptor elite. And our friend Yuval Noah Harari is the transhumanist elite. Lots of elites running around. Dr. Cuddy, thank you so much for being with us once again.
Thanks for having me.
I do want to just thank you so much for your knowledge of history. I think that's really important because none of these things are just happening in a vacuum by chance.
Right.
They are manipulated. I think a lot of our listeners would be interested in knowing what is President Trump doing at the present time, like with the immigration situation, with Putin, Zelensky, the Ukraine, a highly volatile situation. What's your insight into all of this?
You might have to remind me of all that. Let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
In terms of President Trump, oftentimes the situation is clouded, but one element is very important. For example, the whole problem with immigration, starts with, well, let me do a vanishing job. Your listeners, if you can get, look at this online. Vanishing Jobs is a video. And what happened was, the example was a man with a hidden camera would go to look at the trade representative down in Mexico, and he's a hidden camera. So he's speaking very freely, the Mexican trade representative. And he said, what we're doing is we're encouraging people to transfer their headquarters down here. And he used Motorola as an example. Motorola's headquarters had been in Richmond, Virginia. But Motorola was given enticements to transfer down to Mexico. And what they did was they threatened their 160 subsidiaries with losing their jobs unless they also transferred. So what happened is just south of the border, they built these huge housing projects. And that was a lure, not only for Mexicans, but for Costa Ricans and Nicaraguans and all these Central Americans to start coming forward, coming north. And that's where our whole immigration problem began back then. And it fulfills something that was called the North American Union and the Trans-American Highway.
Right.
That was supposed to go from Mexico on up to the north. Why is that important? Because you need to join the three countries. You need to join the three countries, Canada, U.S., and Mexico. They're very explicit about this. I have all the tapes from Gorbachev's 1995 State of the World Forum. And there, you have Zbigniew Brzezinski, who was David Rockefeller's guy, and head of he was National Security Advisor for Jimmy Carter, who really wasn't president. He was just hanging around. Well, he's a moral man. He's a moral man, but he wasn't, that bright intellectually. So Brzezinski said, look, we're not going to get to world... These are the words. I'm almost the exact words. We're not going to get to our world government through one quick leap. We'll have to use regional approaches, region by region by region by region. The last one they had was a Mediterranean region, and the final one, which would be the toughest, is the Middle Eastern region, because that would involve Israel, Israel. And the Israel and the Mossad, they're not stupid. they're very smart. So that'll be the toughest one that they have to come. And that's why you have all this consternation with Israel now. And I think the focus is really misplaced there because everybody's saying, well, you've got to look out for the Iranians and this big ICBM. The ICBM, they're not going to shoot ICBM. The Israelis are all over that place. And they start very slowly. Yeah, they get up to 25,000 miles an hour, but their start is very slow. And the Israelis can knock that out of the sky. So what happened is I think the threat to Israel are drones. The Switchblade drone, there's a 300 and a 600. And the Switchblade drone can fly faster than your eye can see. I mean, imagine that, faster than your eye can see. So what they would probably do, I'm making a prediction, I don't know, I'm predicting. I have a really good record in predicting. I have a better prediction record than the NSA and CIA, and I'll show that in a minute. What they would do is they'd have a nondescript barge, probably, with some registry that's unimportant. And it would just be sitting there, they'd transport food and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, one night in the eastern Mediterranean, the barge opens up and a platform arises, and a thousand drones, Switchblade drones, would pop up and take off faster than the eye can see and do some serious, serious damage to Tel Aviv. I think that's the greater threat that they need to watch out for. That's what I'd be watching for. But this Hamas thing, the attack of October 7th, is part of the fulfillment of the secret Nazi plan. The Nazi plan is to economically control the world. Then the secret communist plan is to do it morally, control the culture.
Right, right. Well, so the elites want Israel destroyed. Is that a right conclusion?
Yes. Well, no, it doesn't have to be destroyed. It has to be under their control. But see, even the leaders, like Netanyahu, for example, he was a furniture salesman. That's all he was. But he was a good-looking guy. So we assisted in him getting elected. Same thing with Libya, Gaddafi. Same thing with him, a good-looking guy and so forth. So we put him in, we take him out. At the very time that we were putting Gaddafi in, we put the leader of the National Front, the ones that overthrew him, with his guys, we brought him over to Langley at the CIA, and we trained them to, 20 years later, overthrow Gaddafi. These things are planned way, way in advance.
Well, you write, you really give it a good name, planned incompetence.
Yeah.
It's planned incompetence, right, to make the nation-state idea look bad. So if we get involved in a war like in Vietnam and we end up looking like what did we lose, 56,000 men, and we still didn't gain anything, there it is. Is that what you're talking about?
And it begins with education. That's where it begins. You have to make them, you have to dumb them down, but you got to be clever because parents aren't really that stupid, right? If if I walked out the front door, if you walked out the front door in Tennessee or Oklahoma, wherever you are, and said to a person, said, you are dumb, they'd say, I resent that. I'm the top in my field in information technology. And you would say, I know you are, but other than that, you really are dumb. And they say, no, I'm not, but I can prove that. I have a copy of an 1885 test to get into high school. That's the seventh grade. The seventh grade. They didn't have any junior highs at that time. I guarantee you most people cannot pass that test. But you got to hide their dumbing down of these people, making them incompetent. You got to hide it from the parents. So the way they did that was in the 1960s, they started developing what we call nationally standardized tests. Iowa test of basic skills, Stanford test, and so forth and so on. So they developed these tests, but every 4 years or so, they would renorm them, take a new average. So let's say, I'll use myself as an example. So little Dennis, he takes a test, and let's say there's 100 questions on the test, and the midpoint is 50. You know, you got 50 right, 50 wrong, right? Midpoint. I'm very sad, and my mother's very sad because I got 49. See, I'm below average. So 4 years later, they take a new test, a new average, and this time it's 47. 50% got below 47 right, 50% above 57 right. But now I'm happy because I got 48 right. I'm dumber. But now I'm above average.
Yep.
These, they have very, you know, very clever ways. And I talked to, he was head of the Iowa Test of Basic Skills when I was in Washington. He said, with A in Hieronymus. And he admitted it. He's very truthful. He said, yeah, that's what we do.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, it sounds like affirmative action kind of thing. You know, you're getting a D in biology and you don't know much about laboratory and about viruses, but you're a certain color, we're going to make you a brain surgeon.
Yeah, and they sort of force specialization. Like when I was in Washington, there was a man named Mark Tucker, and we got rid of him because he was nasty from a liberal conservative viewpoint. So he went to work for Carnegie, and his model was the Eastern European model, and that's when he developed what you may remember as school to work. He said, we need to model our programs here, school to work, after the Eastern European. In other words, the communists, the Marxists. And so even when Reagan was in there, you had George Shultz, Secretary of State, sign the Soviet-American Exchange Agreement, which had Soviet educators coming over here and helping us write our curriculum. We don't need Soviet educators over here helping us to write our curriculum.
Wow. There is a plan, and it's actually not so secret if people read your book. Yeah.
Yeah, but if you quicken the tempo of human life, people are too busy. I'm too busy. I haven't got time to read. I haven't done blah, blah, blah.
Yes. Yeah. That's so important because, you know, as the economy is so difficult, some people have two or three jobs.
Yeah.
I know farmers who can't make it as farming, so they still want to farm, but they work in the city. So they don't have any time even to go to church. They don't have any time to read your book or my book. And then guess what happens? We all fall for the most nasty and foolish and dumb idea. Well, Dr. Cuddy's book, Conspiracy 3, is a wonderful book, fully researched. Our number to call, 1-800-652-1144. And Dr. Cuddy has been doing research and writing in this area, and he is highly knowledgeable, 1-800-652-1144. And remember to check out our website, books, videos, conference dates, lots of information there. God is blessing us in a wonderful way. We're moving ahead. We've got many more platforms. We're doing lots of stuff for everyone out there. You will be excited about Southwest Radio Church. Well, one more thought and question is the dialectical process. You write about the U.S. government opposing Marxism in Africa, but behind the scenes, the CIA was actually befriending and funding them in order to gain control over them. Boy, that sounds like not really a good idea, is it?
No, and what happened was Sullivan, the ambassador to Libya, was about to be called back to testify before Congress. Well, the U.S. leadership, government, all Hillary, they couldn't take that. I mean, that, ask yourself how the terrorist who killed Sullivan knew about that safe house so quickly. So what happened was, in terms of Africa, you had the anti-tank weapons were sent across into Hamas, because the Israelis, when they attack against Hamas, usually lead with the tank and then the infantry. But the smaller arms weapons, the AK-47s, went south to Boko Haram. So it was to control this, what's called the Maghreb region of Middle Africa. So every continent has a plan. I remember I had a tennis buddy, and he says, you know something, Dennis, I was up there, and I was privy. He was at the World Bank. He says, the World Bank has a plan for every single nation on Earth, you know, their future. So I want to emphasize that this is a planned thing, long, long in advance. It's not spontaneous. You might think they're spontaneous to say, no, no, no. There's a plan for every single country from long before.
You know, as I'm thinking and listening to you and thinking of where we're going and then looking at our country and our world, I've really come to the conclusions that nations fall because of sexual perversion. Let's face it. I mean, we don't want to get specific. And yet, when I look at what's happening in our country, it's really weakening our moral fiber. They say, well, you don't believe the Bible. The Bible's old-fashioned. There are 39 different genders and so forth. So as I look more and more, I see the LGBTQ plus everything else. This is really a deliberate, focused attempt to destroy the moral fiber of a nation. And when you do that, what do? We whimper. Yes, take me over. We'll join the United Nations just so I can have my perversion and my sex. And by the way, when the UN takes over, they're not going to get what they want. So maybe you could elaborate on that.
Well, the UN, actually, you have to watch them. Some of their soldiers are the ones who are doing the raping of the women in the country that they're sent to protect. And in terms of the LGBTN, it depends on what day it is. So if it's Tuesday, I'm a female. And if it's Wednesday, I'm a male, and I can go into a female's restroom. And it makes people scared. And people who are scared, they're easily controlled. They're, help me, that sort of thing. And so they bow to some authority, whether it's the UN or whatever it is. They bow to that authority, and that is part of the destruction. They have to destroy us. They have to destroy Christian values. That's what they want to do.
Right. In fact, you know, the message, I think, is I listen to young people, read everything, that's coming across my desk, the idea is that resistance to temptation is futile. The LGBT movement pushes this. They say, it's in your genes. You were born gay. It is futile to resist. 15-year-old girls feel that they're really boys. They need to have surgery, breast removal, hormones. It's called rapid onset gender dysphoria. Don't fight it. That's the message. So what happens? We all become whimpering idiots, and we're just set up for total destruction. And I mean eternal destruction as well.
That's right. And the real downfall was when we started to drift away from the Bible. Because if you look at the Bible, it says there will be an Armageddon, and they will flee to the mountains. You know, they're important. I mean, the whole Bible's important. But in terms of the last days, there are important messages that you need to watch out for, and like New York, you know, it says that they will see the great city, you know, burning and so forth. That gives you a sign. There it gives you a sign of what might happen to New York.
Right. Dr. Cuddy, I know you're a Bible-believing Christian. You are up in years like I am. I mean, it's no secret. And you believe the Word of God. We have Christian families out there listening to us, and they're probably saying, oh, Pastor Larry, what are we going to do? What do you recommend? Well, Dr. Cuddy, what do you recommend as a believer, a Bible teacher, and one who loves the Lord and loves people? So tell us about
Some people may disagree with me. The whole Bible is fine for study. I mean, Jesus came and he said, I am not here come to junk the Ten Commandments. I'm not. However, what I do is I often stress the New Testament because Jesus said, you know, I'm bringing a new covenant. If, for example, he talked about divorce, the Old Testament, they said, well, Moses said we can just write a bill of divorce and she's gone. He says, I'm telling you, in the beginning, it was not that way.
Yes.
So, you know, they're very key. I memorized these things. Very key parts of the Bible, which will give you strength and courage. And as long as you can live, be in the Bible and read the Bible often, you will gain strength and you will not be distracted by Satan. He called him the prince of this world, say, not the king, the prince. So he's going to have his time, and then eventually he will be destroyed.
Amen.
But not until there's certain things, an Armageddon, it will happen.
Right. Right. We are indeed more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, who loves us from all eternity. Dr. Cuddy, thank you for your research, writing, and your willingness to do 3 days of programs with me. Once again, of course, friends, the title of the book, Conspiracy 3. God bless you, Dr. Cuddy.
God bless you, too.
What if the global crises shaking our world aren't accidents, but part of a carefully crafted plan? In Dennis Cuddy's brand new book, Conspiracy 3, uncover the chilling connections between Klaus Schwab, the legacy of Nazi ideology, and the push for a one-world government. From pandemics to political chaos, this explosive book explores how world powers may be using the classic Hegelian dialectic, problem, reaction, solution, to manipulate society into accepting the so-called Great Reset. Conspiracy 3 by Dennis Cuddy. Order your copy today when you call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order online. Simply visit swrc.com. If you've ever suspected there's more to the headlines than meets the eye, Dennis Cuddy's new book, Conspiracy 3, will confirm your instincts and open your eyes. 1-800-652-1144. Author and evangelist Larry Stamm comes now to help us calmly and confidently share our faith with others.
Shalom, friends. Larry Stamm here. So glad you are joining us as we continue in our teaching series, Serving in His Court, Biblical Principles for Personal Evangelism from the Heart of a Coach. In our last lesson, I briefly spoke about a few witnessing conversations that I've had that are in fact instructive to us, and I pointed out some applications that, first of all, whenever we are in conversation with people about spiritual things, never assume anything. Don't assume that people know anything about Jesus, the Bible, and the Christian life. And we also talked about the avoidance of making assumptions about where somebody is spiritually today. I mentioned the fact that I had a gentleman I was speaking with at a Starbucks years ago that he was talking about Young Life, his experience with a Christian organization. And I mentioned, you know, are you and your family looking for a church today? And he got upset with me and said, I don't need church to have faith. And that conversation kind of ended. Talked about another conversation I had with a man, and I opened with the simple question, hey, do you have spiritual interests? And though this man was a quote-unquote universalist, he believed everybody went to heaven and that it didn't matter what religion you were a part of, he was open to me talking about Jesus Christ and even his exclusivity. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to God except through me. I also referred to a conversation I had with a dad who was part of a baseball league our sons were both a part of, a little league team, and he was going to church, and I thought, great, you're going to church. Who do you think Jesus is? You know, what do you think about Jesus? You're in a Christian church hopefully listening to a sermon where the preacher's talking about Jesus. Who do you think he is? And this man stopped me cold in my tracks and said, I don't want to go there. And the application was respect boundaries. No today doesn't necessarily mean no tomorrow, and we want to keep relational bridges open. In this lesson, we're going to talk about Jesus and a witnessing conversation he has in Luke chapter 24 with the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. Jesus, the master questioner, the master listener, our master will give us good teaching from this Luke 24 passage. So the background and the context is the resurrected Christ will appear to two disciples on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas and another unnamed disciple. In his resurrected state, for whatever reason, his true identity as the risen Christ is veiled to them. They don't recognize him. And I'm picking it up in verse 13 of Luke 24, and there's some real powerful lessons and instruction for us regarding our witness to others. Verse 13, Luke 24, the Word of God says, "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened." They were talking, obviously, about the crucifixion of Jesus. Verse 30 of Luke 24, the Word says, "And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them." Verse 31 of Luke 24, we continue, "And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight." In verse 32, "And then they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And then they rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together, and with them they said, the Lord is risen indeed." So there we see Jesus leading these disciples to the truth. He reveals himself, first asking leading questions and then witnessing to them from the scriptures. It's a beautiful story, very instructive. I hope it's been helpful to you. And until next time, friends, the Lord richly bless you and keep you. Shalom.
Before the week ends, we are seeking a faithful 500 who will pledge a monthly gift of $50 or more. To become part of our faithful 500, please visit swrc.com and click donate. Friends, will you stand with us and be one of the faithful 500? Please join today with your monthly gift and be counted as part of the faithful 500 this month. 800-652-1144 or swrc.com. Lord willing, we'll be back here Monday, ready to once again bring clarity to the chaos. Head into the weekend with the encouragement that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners just like you. To learn more, visit swrc.com.